Inhofe debuts his pilot's bill of rights. Biojet opens for business with a discount. And Light Squared charges forward. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, July 8, 2011. As of our deadline, the Atlantis launch team had the shuttle fueled up and ready, and the crew was about to board. Despite just a 30% chance weather will allow the launch this morning at 11:26 a.m. Eastern Time, NASA told reporters, of which there are about 2,000 gathered, that the vehicle is in great shape, although there were some nearby lightning strikes yesterday. More are forecast today. As many as a million people are said to be gathering to watch the last launch of the shuttle, although it's not clear how many of them will be able to stay in Central Florida if it doesn't go today. As promised, Oklahoma Republican and GA pilot James Inhofe introduced his pilot's bill of rights in the U.S. Senate yesterday, boasting 24 co-sponsors from both parties. He commented, quote, "Over the course of my years in Congress, I have helped an untold number of pilots facing the pressure of dealing with the Federal Aviation Administration. This bill remedies many of the most serious deficiencies in the relationship between general aviation and the FAA and ensures that pilots are treated in a fair and equitable manner. One of the reasons I got into politics was to fight for the everyday citizen facing an uphill battle with bureaucracy, and that's why I'm so pleased to introduce this legislation. It's a mixture of my love of flying and pilots and my job of legislating for the people," unquote. In addition to provisions which would give pilots some of the rights available to defendants in criminal prosecutions, the bill would require a review of the FAA's medical certification process. Find more details and a list of the co-sponsors in the text version of this story, dated July 8th, at aero-news.net. Well, this didn't take long. ASTM International, formerly known as the American Society for Testing and Materials, officially issued revised standards defining biofuels for use in aviation turbine engines on July 1st. Now, Biojet is out with an offer to sell 1 billion gallons of renewable jet fuel on long-term contract. In what the company calls a one-time offer, the fuel is available at either a fixed price of $2.95 per gallon or on an index to par on petroleum-based jet fuel with a cap of $3.50 a gallon and a floor of $2.50. Biojet, which got $1.2 billion in funding this year from Equity Partners Fund, says it can make the offer, which is competitive with traditional Jet A, because it operates throughout the entire value chain, from growing the feedstocks to distributing the fuel to end users. KLM Royal Dutch Airlines says it has become the first airline in the world to operate a scheduled commercial flight on biokerosene. Flight 1233, a Boeing 737-800, took off last Friday afternoon at 12:30 p.m. local time from Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam, bound for Charles de Gaulle in Paris, carrying 171 passengers. The flight was operated on biokerosene produced from used cooking oil. This same raw material will be used in more flights scheduled for September. KLM says it's open to using different feedstocks as long as they meet a range of sustainability criteria, including substantial reductions in CO2 emissions and minimum negative impact on biodiversity and food supply. After weeks of congressional hearings and bad press regarding possible interference with GPS equipment, LightSquared announced this week it has raised millions of dollars in new investment and is moving forward. The controversial startup claims it raised another $264 million to add to more than $2.3 billion it's raised in the past year. Quote, "This latest round of financing signals another endorsement by the financial markets of our business model and LightSquared's intent to use private capital to build out a new network to meet the growing demand across this entire nation for wireless broadband access," unquote. The FCC is now evaluating interference test results and must approve the plan before LightSquared can continue to move forward. But given the fact that the FCC fast-tracked the process without the normally required public hearings, I'm going to guess those test results will look just fine to the commission. Up next on ANN, the Air Force Academy chooses the SR-20. EASA says 2010 was a safe year for members. And air traffic control hits a milestone in the U.S. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, July 8th. I'm Paul Platt. Cirrus Aircraft confirmed this week that its SR-20 has been selected for the U.S. Air Force Academy's Powered Flight Program. The company says fulfillment is already underway. The Air Force Academy will receive 25 SR-20s, designated as T-53A trainers in the customized configuration, starting this summer and continuing through 2012. Lieutenant Colonel Brad Oliver, with the Academy's 557th Flying Training Squadron, says replacement of the existing trainer fleet has been under review since last year. Quote, "The T-53A meets or exceeds all of our performance and operational criteria and is very well suited to our mission. And while we hope we never have need of it, our cadets and instructors will now have the option of pulling the chute if it's needed." Unquote. The total value of the deal is about $6.1 million, which is about $244,000 per aircraft, a discount of about 13% below the MSRP of the civilian base model SR-20. EASA, the European Aviation Safety Agency, has published its annual safety review for 2010. It shows a high level of safety for commercial air transport operations in EASA member states. EASA says 2010 was the first year in the history of aviation in Europe that no fatal accidents occurred for commercial helicopter and airplane operations, and the number of non-fatal accidents, although higher than in 2009, has been within the decade average. The survivability rate of all accidents involving EASA MS-operated aircraft in the decade of 2001 to 2010 has been 95% for all persons on board. According to the executive summary at the top of the report, the fatal accident rate of scheduled passenger operations with airplanes was significantly lower in Europe than in the rest of the world as a whole. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt announced yesterday that David Grizzle will be the chief operating officer of the FAA's Air Traffic Organization. Quote, "David is committed to transparency, accountability, and to building a safety culture that encourages collaboration. I am thrilled that he has agreed to accept this critical responsibility." Unquote. Grizzle, who became FAA's chief counsel in 2009, stepped in to take the COO post on an interim basis in mid-April, after Hank Krakowski became a scapegoat for a rash of incidents of air traffic controllers sleeping on the job and was forced to resign. Regarding his permanent appointment, Grizzle commented, quote, "The air traffic organization is involved in a once-in-a-generation transformation. I could not be more honored to be a part of the ATO team." Unquote. And finally today, Wednesday, was the 75th anniversary of federal air traffic control in the U.S. With the sleeping controller scandal fading from public memory, the FAA chose to mark the milestone by noting that American aviation is experiencing its safest period ever. Federal air traffic control began July 6, 1936, when the Bureau of Air Commerce took over the operation of the first airway traffic control centers at Newark, Chicago, and Cleveland. The 15 employees who made up the original group of controllers took radio position reports from pilots to plot the progress of each flight, providing no separation services. At the time, the fastest plane in the commercial fleet was the Douglas DC-3, which could fly coast to coast in about 17 hours, carrying 21 passengers. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt commented, quote, "As a pilot, I am in awe of the aviation safety and technological advancements that have been made in the last 75 years. NextGen represents the next milestone in aviation innovation. The FAA is committed to transforming our national airspace system so passengers can reach their destinations even more safely and more efficiently than they do today." Unquote. The month-long celebration will highlight advancements in air traffic controller training, NextGen, how the FAA handles convective summer weather, and aviation infrastructure improvements. You know, that sounds interesting. Don't forget to set your alarm. That's the latest from Aero News. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.